my gosh, there are so many people here that I recognize, and so many that I have not seen in forever. So if you're one of them, thank you so much for coming. And for those that I haven't met before, thank you for coming as well. Sorry, can you tell I'm a bit excited? Oh, I've been so excited all day, pretty much all week for this, like nervous, but really excited. And within the past maybe 45 minutes or so, I've been especially excited because I've been fitted with this awesome, what I like to call Madonna microphone that I keep seeing up on the stage as everyone speaks, and I'm like, oh, I'd love to wear that one day. So I'm kind of living my dream right now. So if that's not exciting enough, I have some hopefully really powerful things to share with you tonight about my own story. So before I launch in, I'd love to tell you a little bit about myself, if that's all right. So my name is Taylor, for those of you who haven't met me before. And I have the privilege and joy of being one of the interns here at Seeds. And this has just been wonderful. We've spent so much time going through scripture, learning more about God. And also, I've learnt so much just from hearing the other testimonies alone. That's been wonderful. And so I consider it such a privilege to be here and be able to do that myself. So a little bit more about me. I came to faith as a teenager through going to a Christian school and coming along to Access and being fed that way. And upon leaving school, I had to make a decision to make my faith not just a social one on a Friday night where I would hang out and eat stacks of lollies with my friends. Way too many. So many. But I had to make the choice to make my faith an individual one, a personal one, and one that I made the choice to follow and believe in every day. And so upon finishing school, that's the choice I made, and the rest is history, I suppose. I also come to recognise that God has shaped my heart and revealed himself to me in a collection of seasons in my life. And tonight, as I share these with you all, it would be a privilege to share them. Oh, I'm just so excited. I'm so excited. Sorry. Also, when I share these, I pray that, just as Maz was saying, you steel your heart and allow God to speak. I know that can be so hard in the busyness of our weeks, but just let God speak. And I pray that through my story that you learn just a little bit more about who God is as a father, as someone who's just really fun, a comforter, a lover and a friend. He is so many things, and he's working in your lives. I'm so certain of that. I also, pray that you continue to reflect on maybe something that you've noticed God doing for you this week, or that you are seeking from God as you head into maybe a tricky season or something that's going to be really hard, because God's got you completely. And for those that are here that haven't had too much experience at church, or the experiences they have had at church have been really hard or really painful, thank you so much for being here. I fully recognise how important it is for you to come into a church and feel safe, so I pray that we are that space for you tonight. And as I share, you maybe reconceptualise who God is in your heart, and maybe that perspective might shift from a God that's mean and nasty to a God that just loves you so, so much. So to start off, I'd love to share with you, out of one of these seasons I'm going to talk about, season of family and childhood. This, out of my testimony, I consider to be one of the biggest components of what has shaped my heart for God. So I would love to spend quite a bit of time in this area. Just heads up, family. Although my childhood has been so incredibly well documented in embarrassing videos and photos, I don't really actually remember that much of my early childhood. I'm sure I enjoyed the blissful 19 months I had as an only child. I'm sure it was great. But the memories I do have are the ones of, you know, spending time with my siblings and my cousins. That pretty much makes up my whole recollection of childhood as well. Within this collection of milestones and embarrassing things that I did that are all caught on video, which luckily for me are all hidden away in boxes as we're renovating our house at the moment. We're about to start, so I did try find them for you guys, but luckily for me, they're hidden in a box somewhere and I couldn't find them. So within this milestone of collections, you know, collection of milestones and experiences, I've never doubted that I was loved and cherished by my parents. Though they have always intentionally let me know of their support and love for me pretty much every day, this love was not one that simply just hang in these, you know, affirmations and nice things that they were saying, but it actually meant so much more. I've never doubted this love. I've never not trusted my parents because I could see and I could tangibly experience love through their actions every day. I could sense that the time they spend with me and the time they still do spend with me to this day is intentional, and they do everything they can to, I get really emotional thinking about this, to give success and for happiness. My dad, he's here. Hi, Philly. He has worked for the same company for pretty much 25 years, I think. Works incredibly hard and still does to financially bless us. Though he works so hard, and when I was a child, he worked so hard and had a pretty nasty commute as well. He hid any toll that this took on him when he was around us, which I recognise in part to have been to shelter us and protect us from ever having to think about money or work or things that weren't of childhood, which in my case was high five and bossing around my younger sister. Sorry. Sorry, Emma. My mum, shaped by her experiences, sought to give us and my siblings more than what she had herself growing up, sacrificing her time, work, energy, sleep, and often her sanity to be at our beck and call and to allow us to not just simply enjoy being kids, but to thrive. And I talked to Mum about this last week for a little bit on the way in the car to see Mamma Mia, which is a great movie, by the way. I was talking to her about this and she just shrugged it off saying, it's just what you do as a mum. I wasn't doing anything special. My parents' love for my siblings and myself was a sacrificial love, yet also an abundant and unconditional one. When my parents loved me as a child, they were giving me part of themselves. However, this love never seemed to diminish as they continued to love me day in, day out, but actually kept replenishing itself to remain one of abundance. And in all honesty, looking back at my childhood, I have no idea how that was possible sometimes. We were pretty naughty and kind of rat bags as kids, so I admire you guys so much. But what I've come to realise is that this paints a striking resemblance to the love that I've come to know in God. As it is revealed to us in the Bible, we can trust in God because he is true to his promises. God is always consistent and God comes through for us every time, no matter what circumstance we're in. This is proven in Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. You want to pop it up, Mashi? Yes, thank you. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant or peace removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. God is always intentional in what he does. Everything he does has a purpose and has a plan. And in the end, these are all plans in which he aims to bless us as his children. And he does this gladly if we allow ourselves to recognize our need for him and to receive it. He seeks to be close to us and actually partner with us. As I reflect on this, I recognise all these qualities are found in the love of my parents as well. I truly believe that my experience on this earth with the incredible parents I do have has not simply been just to be a blessing, but to shape the understanding of who God is. By taking the qualities I've grown up with all my life from my parents and being able to grow up and translate those qualities back to him. So thank you. This has also formed a wonderful and strong foundation in my heart, preparing me to accept God as my Father and a Father that I can love, trust, confide in, and let my guard down before. Though I was not raised in a family that necessarily went to church every Sunday or had a relationship with God, he was still always present, calling me and pursuing me to know him and love him as my Father. In each moment of love throughout my childhood, though my parents or myself didn't really know it was the love of God moving and stirring, I know now that it was. As it points to throughout the entirety of the Bible, God is love. And because God is love, God can never be separated from love, including the love in our lives where we don't even know it's him or we choose to reject him and push him aside. I also now understand, after reflecting on my childhood and the incredible blessing that it is to have such a wonderful mum and dad and amazing siblings and grandparents and cousins, that God has always pursued my family. wanting us to make the choice to become part of his family. This is made irrevocably clear in John chapter 1, verse 12. Get on screen, Mashi. Thank you. Yet to all who received him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Regardless of your experience in your life with your own biological or earthly parents, as us Christians like to say, earthly parents, God has been, he currently is, and will always hunger to be your heavenly Father. Though in my experience, I recognise that the love of my parents has been an area in which God has blessed me so massively and called me to him. I know that for many people, this has been a really deeply traumatic thing, and I don't, you know, take that lightly. But I really want to affirm in this moment that wherever you're at with your family, or if you've had that traumatic experience, that this does not change the goodness and the kindness of the God who will continue to chase after you. God has been chasing you in every aspect of your life, including calling you back to him through your experience with your parents in your childhood, just as he did for me. All right, let's not keep this as serious or emotional. That part is done. Okay, so also moving into the next season, as some of you may also be aware, throughout my childhood, I was a dance freak. I loved to dance. And fun fact, Tiana here, who was on worship before, I've known her for years. I used to dance with her when she was a little girl. And now I get to lead her in a small group, so that's such an awesome privilege. I started dancing when I was 3 years old, and according to Mum, she figured I was already dancing so much to High Five in front of the TV that she might as well just put me in class. I've been taking classes in a whole range of different things from the time I was a little girl, including things like ballet, jazz, modern, pretty much the whole works. And my logic has always been, and will remain to this day and forevermore, that any excuse to use jazz hands is one that we should all take. During this time, I've had the opportunity to form lifelong friendships, of whom I was able to grow up alongside and confide in about everything, including successes, maybe failures or bad grades at school, challenges, you know, the things that are really challenging when you're growing up. Dancing also gave me something to do beyond just simply being at school, because I totally realised now that I was such a goody two-shoes and spent way too much time on homework. And yes, I will admit in front of you all, I was that kid that asked for homework. I'm sorry. I apologise. Dancing was also something that I thrived in and actually allowed me to challenge myself and strengthen my body and my technique, as we call it in dancing, which, now that I think about it, has allowed me to foster the ability to be disciplined in the tasks that I complete and to also just have relatively good time management skills, because dancing 4 or 5 days a week whilst being a goody two-shoes at school is a busy gig, trust me. But beyond this, dancing made me feel completely free and gave me a sense of joy and happiness nothing in my life seemed to give me in the same way. I couldn't, and still now couldn't, tell you why this was the case. Maybe it was something about the creative license dancing gave me. Maybe it was the feeling of knowing that my family and my friends were proud of me when I was dancing. Regardless of this, what I'm certain of is that dancing gave me a joy which has done nothing but bless my life and shape the person who I am today. The more I come to understand about the God I believe in, the God that I love and the God that I serve, is that... Oh, I've lost my place. sorry. Is that we're actually designed to experience joy in an abundance. That's how we're created. And this joy, in the form that God wants for us, comes from closeness and intimacy with God, which, as it talks about in Genesis, God planned for us to have from the start by creating the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve to call home, allowing himself, making himself available to be able to partner with them and walk side by side with them. This is until we turned away from him, of course. But what is an incredible truth that we have access to today is that we can now receive complete joy in Jesus. through the atoning sacrifice for our sins on the cross to return us to where we were always designed to be, in oneness and in closeness with him. This is affirmed in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 2, which is one of my favourite passages in the Bible. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I truly believe that dancing has also helped me to appreciate that the joy I can find in Jesus and appreciate God's desire for me to be creative and his heart for creativity, and also just to have fun. Like, I don't think we talk about this enough. God is actually so much fun. Church doesn't need to be boring. All right, I will admit to you now though, I do often struggle to live in this joy every day. And as a constant day in, day out experience, which ties into the next season I'd love to talk to you about, which is one of anxiety. So in the midst of the wonderful life I've had so far, which has been super, super cool to share with you all, minus me just saying weird things and forgetting my place and all that jazz, in my childhood and teenage life, I was so incredibly anxious and self-aware all the time. I remember constantly putting pressure on myself, when in reality, no one was actually putting pressure on me at all except for myself. I remember thinking I needed to be perfect at all times. And again, this is something that, again, no one was putting on me but just myself. And it was categorised by the tendency I had to catalyse any minor mistake or issue or thing that went wrong into something way out of proportion to what it was. A snowball effect, as you could say. So to combat this, I naturally just tried to continue to be perfect, to get the best grades, to try to be the best dancer in my class, etc., etc., etc. The list goes on and on and on and on. This pressure, as I continued to grow up and move through school, proceeded to build up and up and up until it got to a point where it just hit bubbled over and it just seemed to overcome everything. And this led to some mental health issues when I was in year 7, 8, around about there of school. And during this time, I did meet weekly with a psychologist. And though meeting with her made me aware of the anxiety, and it did help me to reduce it to a point where it wasn't all-consuming, it is still something that I've lived with for the large majority of my life, and in all honesty, still let influence my life sometimes today. A revelation that I've had regarding my anxiety within the last few years since finishing school is that because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, I'm actually completely freed from anxiety. However, the anxiety I do experience is only as a result of me letting it have that influence, because I forget the truth that I live in and the freedom that I actually have. As we've learnt about in the internship this year, a remarkable price has been paid for me not to experience anything that holds me back from knowing God completely. And I'm actually already free from feelings of anxiety, inadequacy, self-consciousness, nervousness, even tonight as I'm in front of you all. And I'm the only one that can give these feelings weight in my life. The truth is that Jesus died and rose again to allow us to live as he lived, free from sin, free from the weight of anxiety, and as completely one and intimate with him. And this truth lives in us as soon as we accept him into our lives. And it is tangible through his Holy Spirit that dwells in us and through us and all around us. As it says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, as for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, talking about his Holy Spirit. And you don't need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Remaining in God and God alone frees me from my anxiety. However, in moments of deception by the devil, who I believe is real and hates the fact that I now know that anxiety doesn't need to have any weight, you know, I still experience moments of anxiety and doubt in myself. Even last night, dropping some truth bombs, I felt so overcome by anxiety, thinking about, you know, tonight and what I was going to share and, you know, recognising its importance. I felt so overcome by this anxiety and voices in my head telling me I couldn't do it. But that being said, I'm learning to remain in God. And aside from moments like last night, on occasion where I forget, I've now discovered so much more about myself beyond that of being an anxious kid who loves jazz hands. I have found myself as a quirky person who loves to tell pretty bad jokes, was really into Harry Potter and watching lots of Netflix, and enjoy investing, Michael found that funny, and enjoy spending time with people. I don't need to rely on gratification from other things, my family, my friends, my boyfriend, the world, Facebook, social media. I don't need to rely on those things to feel confident and happy with myself. I'm now grasping and beginning to live in the truth that the only gratification that I need is in God. He's the lover of my soul and the only one who will truly sustain my heart forevermore. I've also experienced the whispers of God's Spirit revealing in me a passion for inclusion and his own hunger for people in his kingdom to have the equitable opportunity to thrive, to have a voice and to make choices. And this has been most predominantly in the area of disability, which seems pretty random. This has led me to choosing, or perhaps God prompting me to choose, as I should really say, to study disability at uni, which I'm just starting my second year of now. And I just pray and I believe that God will use this heart to allow me to advocate for people with disabilities in our community because they need people to advocate for them. This is something that I've become so passionate about, as like I'm sure I've ranted about with a lot of you guys already. And it is such a joy to study. Within this time, I've also felt strongly called to use the gifts that God has given me to help others feel included in this church. More strongly within our youth ministry, but I like to think not excluding anyone else. And I'm so privileged to be able to lead the Year 12 Girls Small Group with a couple of my best friends. It's the biggest joy ever. And allow God to use my experiences and my thought and insight into, you know, to teach these beautiful women more about who they are in God, who God says they are. I've also, within the past year, felt really called to step out in faith and seek new friendships and relationships with more people and include more people in my life, which has actually been the hugest blessing ever. And if this is the only thing you remember from tonight, take a step out and talk to people that you wouldn't normally talk to. Include others in what you're doing because it has the biggest impact ever. And yeah, I have so many things in my life that fill me with so much joy, but the biggest thing that brings me joy is Jesus. As Shane was talking about this morning, we live in God's kingdom where we serve a king who is Jesus. He is our king in this kingdom, and it is a privilege to be able to serve him. Even though I stuff up and make mistakes, even though I don't always get it right, I know that I'm forgiven and God loves me just as he loves all of you. And so I pray as tonight, to close, with some beautiful people coming up to sing a song. These guys can probably come up and get ready now if they like. They're going to be singing a song for me called For the One. And this song has been really powerful in this journey in my life of taking a step and including others. And it talks about God's heart for inclusion. So I pray that as I finish up and these guys sing, that you just really allow God to speak, even if it's for the first time, and allow God to use you and move during your weeks and in all that is to come. So thank you for listening, and I hope you've enjoyed yourself. Thank you.